Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Hundreds. All right, we're back, and we're kind of in a conspiracy mode here, but Rachel Alexander of The Stream is on the line. Hello, Rachel.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And the whole Seth Rich thing, which I was jumping on earlier, because maybe it's my Sicilian roots. My great-uncle Frank was in the mob. I guess it kind of runs in the family, but you know, you just say, well, a guy gets shot in the back, and he's a DNC data analyst, and he... No, and the robbers don't take his wallet or his phone or his watch. And then we have Julian Assange, who puts a $20,000 reward out for his killer, which he doesn't do for every run-of-the-mill robbery victim. It, you know, it fed my instinctive speculation that Rich was a leaker of DNC emails. Now, the family's pushing back. Please stop the wild conspiracy theories. Jonathan, or the guy on Fox, Sean Hannity, is now withdrawing and honoring the family. CNN just did a piece last night mocking the conspiracy theorists, but never mentioned in the report that his wallet wasn't taken. Never mentioned that, which I thought was just disgusting. And we have Kim Docto, or what's the guy's name? Kim.com, this hacker. Famous hacker saying that he knew Rich and they're working together. So where are we now, Rachel, with this story?
Well, more evidence just keeps coming out that there might be some truth to this story. And it's not just Kim.com that's come out a few days ago, but it's also an anonymous federal investigator who claims that he's seen Seth Rich's computer, he's seen the case file, and he's seen over 44,000 emails that were sent from Seth to WikiLeaks.
Is that the guy that CNN mocked? Is that the African-American private eye that was on CNN's piece being mocked last night?
Well, I don't even know if those two have a connection. I mean, they might even be independent of each other. This Kim.com said that he spoke with Seth Rich a year ago when Seth Rich spoke anonymously with him using the name Panda. And, you know, you tend to believe
And Kim.com is a notorious hacker.
He started this website, Mega Upload, where you can just put all of this pirated material because he doesn't believe in strict copyright laws. Uh-huh, and so the U.S. is actually trying to extradite him from New Zealand to prosecute him. So he's kind of a, I don't know, I wouldn't know if I would say shady, but he definitely is a mover and shaker. And he's basically saying that he talked to Seth Rich a year ago, and that's how he discovered that Seth was the leaker. And he might be credible because he said in an interview with Bloomberg in May of last year, before Rich was murdered, that lots of information was going to come out implicating Hillary Clinton on the campaign.
Okay, all that is good, but what about this pushback and CNN and others and who some guy on Twitter, who's a conservative commentator from the Fox show at 6 o'clock, pushing back saying it's just shameless conspiracy stuff with no evidence and that it could have just been the robbers panicked and ran away after they shot him in the back. Didn't bother to steal his wallet.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's like the right is divided over this. And I do know my interest has become more and more piqued in this just because the left has tried so hard to silence anyone from looking into this. You know, with Hannity, they went after his advertising.
Why is it left-right? Why is this left-right? It's not left-right with me. I just want to know the truth. If a guy gets plugged in the back in the middle of 4 o'clock in the morning after he's a data analyst at the DNC, and you've got, you know, his wallet's not taken. To me, my hairs go up. And we got Assange putting the $20,000 reward out for his killer. Why would he do that?
Well, the good news is, like you said, it's not just left versus right. Just within the last couple of days, the Bernie Sanders people have come out and they've said they want this investigated because the whole reason that, you know, Seth Rich allegedly leaked these DNC emails is because he was a Bernie Sanders supporter and he didn't like the crooked way the Democrats were setting Hillary up for the election.
Thank God for the Bernie campaign. It never goes away. Isn't that refreshing? Well, of course, we should point out that Bernie lost to Hillary in California by 17 points, which I never believed, by the way.
Exactly.
Never believed.
Like, I keep reading.
How do you lose? How does Bernie lose in California in the primary when he had all the big crowds, when the people that vote in primaries are progressive, by 17 points to Hillary?
Yeah. Well, if you look into it, you'll find all these ways that they think the Hillary campaign was manipulating the Democrats voting. In fact, I read, and I didn't even put it in my article.
Two Stanford studies.
But Seth Rich was learning there was a second voting location that Hillary's people were sending Bernie to, and then their ballots ended up never being counted or something.
Bernie's ballot? Why would they do that for one vote? They sent Bernie to a different polling place?
That's what I'm hearing. And Seth Rich was the voting data guy. He was the guy.
A bogus polling place. What you're saying? It just happens that Bernie wouldn't have voted. He's not from California, so you're talking about Bernie supporters, right? Not Bernie.
Right. All the Bernie supporters were directed to this fake polling place.
I misheard you. I understand that. That's why the two Stanford studies saying there was hanky panky in California's primary, and of course we know that Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the finance director was trying to bait the Kentucky racists against Bernie and the anti-Semites. All that stuff was revealed in the leaked emails. But it's like nobody really, you know, they talk about hacking the election, but the machines weren't hacked. And also the press didn't cover a lot of that stuff very much either. The stuff on
the
finance director.
No, there's no voter fraud. There's no voter fraud. But remember,
I'm talking about the leaks, the emails. The DNC emails where they admitted they were trying to bait racist voters against Bernie in Kentucky. That's when they fired the finance director. You know, I'll never forget that stuff. So I mean, there are all kinds of emails leaked. You know, the Donna Brazile, who gave Hillary the questions in a debate. Nobody even cared about that. Donna finally came clean months later.
Because those Democrats kept trying to say, they could have forged my email. These WikiLeaks, they could just be forged.
Well,
I
got to tell you, Rachel,
the
whole partisan nature of this bothers me. As a reporter, former reporter, I want to get to the truth. And I want to know why the family is now saying none of it's true and they went through the computer and everything. I mean, how do they know?
Family's gone back and forth. I mean, have you seen the video clip of them thanking people for helping them with the investigation?
So who's running with this story? Is CNN just running with half a truth on the family?
I see. I've been investigating this issue hardcore, week and a half especially. No. And I cannot get a straight answer from the fake news out there. Everything changes. You know, at one point the family wants the detectives to release all their information to the public so we can look and see what we've got. And on the other hand, the family, says they've already seen everything, they've seen his emails, and there's nothing there. So it just keeps changing. And part of the problem is their spokesperson is someone the DNC had them hire, a Democratic crisis management guy.
Well, CNN's now treating it like you're going to be a total nutcase to think there was anything suspicious about the hit when his wallet wasn't taken. I mean, this notion that the shooters at point-blank range at 4 in the morning got too afraid to take his wallet after shooting him in the back 3 times. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Rachel. It doesn't work that way. You know, it just doesn't.
Wouldn't you have, let's say you saw somebody coming up right after you shot him. Don't you think you could take 5 seconds to at least grab his wallet?
In the dark, who cares if somebody's coming up? If somebody's coming up, you kill them too, or you just, it's dark, they can't see you. But you don't just panic. Who's going to be coming? 4 o'clock in the morning, he's going to be coming up. Somebody drunk out of a bar? I mean, give me a break.
And I read there were a lot of video cameras in the area, and we haven't seen any of the footage from those video cameras, as well as there were 3 body cameras on the police when they appeared at the scene. That hasn't been released.
Hey, now we're in Dealey Plaza, aren't we? We're back in Dealey Plaza, man. Hundreds of witnesses, 48 of whom were killed by 65. The odds of that were like 1,000,000,000,000 to 1. I love that one. It's my favorite one. But, again, I hate the result of it. But Always you're saying there's cameras and there's police cameras and the laptop. We don't know where the laptop is either, do we, Rachel?
I keep reading different accounts in the media. Like the family's private investigator they hired, he says he can't figure out whether it's with the D.C. police or with the
FBI.
And I keep reading multiple variations from the fake news media about whether the laptop is with the feds or whether it's with the D.C. police. And even the Democratic-appointed spokesman for the family has given conflicting information on whether it's with the FBI or not or whatever.
The DNC-appointed spokesperson for the family.
Doesn't that sound like a conflict of interest?
No, it makes me sick. You know, I want to send some of the boys over there and figure this crime out. You know, I want to know who did the hit. You know, if this was ordered by somebody we know. Anyway, Rachel, we appreciate it very much. Give me the website again, the stream.com. Is that it? Stream.org?
Stream.org.
Keep working on the case, Rachel, and just imagine some private security. Follow you home, but I'm sorry, but it doesn't smell right when you don't take the wallet. You don't take the watch. You don't take the phone. Because somebody's walking up drunk at 4 a.m. I don't buy it. It's BS. And thank you.
No, we're going to keep on top of it, and they're not going to scare me off.
Thank you, Rachel. Get a bulletproof vest.
Thanks for having me on. God bless.
The Mitch Hanks Show. God bless you, too. MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the L. Smith Projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo's a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim Rail knew everything about the area. He knew the schools. He knew what the market was doing and what it trended as far as exactly where we should go in as far as the price to put an offer on and what we should ask for our old house.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would definitely recommend Tim Rail to anyone that was buying or selling a house. We had a great experience, and I think they would too.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years, whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room. I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to The Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, getting back to Wisconsin here. Rick Burke used to work for Tommy Thompson, worked for the Madison School Board back in the 80s. And Tommy Thompson, speechwriter. I'm noticing the fighting going on between the Republicans in Wisconsin, Scott Walker and Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker. I'm told by sources close to the, actually very close to the situation, they've never seen anything like this in 25 years, that Voss and Walker are just enemies now,
huh.
And that Voss is trying to cultivate his caucus against the governor on some of these things, like, you know, the transportation funding and projects. Because let's face it, if you get the road builders in your favor, you get a lot of money for a future run, which Voss had to walk back. But, you know, everybody knows this.
Well, I guess we're going to find out pretty soon, because Walker will have to decide if he's going to veto the entire budget. Sad.
Well, he's saying that because, in part, I'm told, because the forestry money, that is the state forestry services that were paid for by property tax. It's the one state thing that property taxes pay for, right? And Governor Walker wanted to take that out and just take it off the property tax and pay for it with general revenue, I guess, because he wants there to be a statewide property tax cut, the average property tax cut, which apparently has happened every time, even though it's kind of a phony number because you might live in a rich area and it's not the same. But,
well, you know, it's hard to understand. We were talking earlier off the air about Tommy Thompson. Now, in the days when Tommy was governor, he got a lot of stuff done. And most of that time was with Democrats in charge of the legislature.
Oh, I know.
But Tommy would work with them. He would call them in, talk to them. I mean, this notion that, hey, Governor Walker isn't calling me and screw it. That would never happen. I mean, I can't figure that out at all. I mean, these people aren't very far apart in the building. All they have to do is walk a few steps and you can sit down and talk to someone or pick up a phone.
I think Voss is more open to gas tax increase or even tolls. Governor Walker is not for that. I mean, it's kind of this no tax, no tuition, you know, keep it low kind of thing.
But you know what? I think most voters, even conservative voters, are almost at the point where they'll throw up their hands and just say, do something. If it's a gas tax, fine. I'll pay a gas tax. Just get the damn roads done.
Yeah, I think so. You know, this whole austerity thing, it goes so far. I think the property tax. When I moved here to Wisconsin in fall of 88 in Green Bay, you had State Senator Jerome Van Sistine. Remember him? He was Tip
sure
O'Neill
did.
Of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Had the big suspenders, and he was pushing the lottery at the time and all that.
Yeah.
There was a big debate when I first got to the state about the lottery, whether we should have that, right? Anyway,
and
so.
I was there as the first communications director for the Wisconsin lottery.
There you
were.
Oh, good for you.
I remember those days very well.
Oh, sure. But the point was, it was all aimed at property tax relief because the property taxes are so high here.
Yeah.
And they've been high, and I think the governor has really staked his career from a policy standpoint on that. So if you're a farmer or if you're a big homeowner or whatever, or you're a senior on fixed income and you own a house, then you notice that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if your bill goes up by $8 compared to going up in previous years by $200, you're going to notice it, right?
Yeah, you're going to see that as relief.
I think Scott Walker has staked his entire career on that, primarily that issue.
Well, I think that's true to a certain degree.
And Democrats, I think, should go back to more of a rob the rich to pay the poor type of class warfare. Remember Joe Wienicke's 3% solution?
Yeah, I do.
In the spring of 92, they wanted to change the Constitution so you could tax commercial property at a higher rate or a different rate than residential, which would have, in effect, on paper, given like half the seniors a 50% cut in their property tax bill. But it lost by like 1,000 votes, 800,000 cast, and the opponents of the referendum outspent them 10-1.
Yeah.
But that would give Democrats an issue to run on, in my mind, because what else do they have? Minimum wage, roads and bridges? What do we have?
Well, but speaking of roads, I remember your former boss, Governor James Doyle, helping make things worse by robbing the transportation fund to send more money to K-12. That was his preference.
He took federal stimulus.
He took millions.
Stimulus money for that, too, yeah.
Yeah, he took a lot of money out to throw to K-12. And lo and behold, the roads got behind. They haven't been taken care of. So we got to thank him, too, for helping to create this current maelstrom.
You're trashing my former boss, Rick.
Well, I'm not so much trashing as just reminding people of the history they may not recall.
Well, he wouldn't raise taxes either.
Yeah, I'm sure he was a good guy. He hired you, Mitch, so he can't be all bad.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to get hired than it is to maybe stay a long time. But
well, that was only because there was a Republican governor that defunded your position.
You know, no, actually, that was because of Chuck Kwala.
Yeah, that's right.
We angered him.
Right. Revenge comes,
you know,
in many
Chuck
forms.
Chuck Kwala, after that happened, he saw me in the rotunda,
yeah,
and he said, "Mitch, it's not personal. You're doing great work."
Uh-huh.
He said, "Nothing personal," he
yeah.
said. Of course, I had two little kids at the time.
Well, it sure feels personal, Chuck.
I paid my ex-wife a lot more money at the time,
yeah,
too, which she didn't
sure
like.
It sure feels personal.
She didn't enjoy that check being yeah. reduced. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, honey, we've got to cut back on this stuff because Chuck Wallace. But Chuck says it's not personal.
The support is going to go down because of this move.
Yeah, but Chuck says it's not personal. You understand, don't you, honey?
This would be a big check, but it's not as big. It's not personal, though. It wasn't personal.
Right. If you got any questions, call Chuck Kwala, please.
Well, of course, the Democrat, this is inside baseball, but Russ Decker was the Democrat, who I think his wife worked for Chuck, who voted against my position and joined finance. He was the one Democrat to join the Republicans. So, and then he later got the OWI, which I enjoyed talking about on the air. But this is all inside baseball stuff that nobody cares about. Where were we? Oh, yeah. The Republicans are divided, and he may, in fact, veto the budget.
I suppose that could happen, yeah. That would be very odd.
But it seems to me...
With a Republican-controlled Senate and Assembly to veto a budget, that would be...
Ross,
there are many ways to avoid that.
It looks like the Speaker is trying to sort of be the Main Street Tommy Thompson coalition-building Republican versus the movement conservative Republican that Scott Walker is.
Well,
is that what
know.
It looks like to you?
It's hard to... I don't know how Robin Voss and Scott Walker couldn't come together on this budget business.
Yeah.
That is hard to imagine.
You know, we're still spending more every 2 years on the total amount of money. I mean, you know, we're still spending a lot of money. We spend a lot of money.
Government never seems starved.
Well, there's no revenue shortage here, right? We've got plenty of revenue.
Not a severe one, no.
And so if you're on the payroll and your check is being reduced, of course you're going to be angry and you're going to hate Walker. But if you're outside the payroll and you're just out there slumming on the cannibalistic private sector, you don't really care that much about those who are on the payroll.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but, you know, nobody cares.
Yeah.
They don't care. And, of course, if you're on the payroll, you don't care about anything else,
yeah.
right?
Well,
so that's kind of where it is. I mean, that's kind of the Catherine Kramer thing, the politics of resentment, right? If somebody has something you don't have, you're jealous.
Not happy about
you're
it.
Not happy, right?
Right.
Why is Bill mowing the lawn on a Tuesday? Why is he retired at 55? Well, because he got that good job for the state.
Yeah, way back when.
I love this. You could have worked for the state. You could have been a teacher. You could have been.
You could have done this.
You could have worked for the county. Don't you love that?
Thanks, hon.
Well, I mean, we had a lot of marriages like that, right?
I guess so.
You know. People, well, and not just people on the payroll, but people, everyone, I guess, is motivated by naked self-interest. That's what makes the world go around, right?
I think so. It's part of it.
So, I mean...
Other things make it go around, but that's one of them.
I mean, there's 100,000 people in one weekend demonstrating in the Capitol. Yeah.
Yeah.
I walked... My daughter wanted me to take her down there to see the action. And I some guy shouted out, you know, kill these fascist... mother blankers.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter's a young girl at the time hearing this. And
I remember when I was down there for one of the rallies, I think on a Saturday, and the best sign I saw was, I would have been here during the week, but I have a job.
To pay for the other protesters.
I have
to work to pay for the other protesters. I remember
who were not, we're not reporting to work, but reporting to the Capitol.
I saw that sign, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great sign.
But if I'm making $50,000 and I'm... a teacher, and I've got three kids, and I'm by myself, which is often the case with single parents, and I'm suddenly going to have to cough up $400 or $500 a month, you know.
That's a big hit.
That's a hit.
That's a big hit.
So I can see where there'd be rage.
Yeah,
there'd be
sure.
rage. The way I feel after a basketball game that doesn't go my way.
Right.
There's rage there.
Yeah, after Butler gets beat at the buzzer.
Why would you just stick the knife in there?
I'm just imagining the rage and what would provoke
there would be rage there, yeah. Of course, they didn't lose the buzzer. Thank God they got blown out by Carolina. Won the second half, though.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure the world remembers.
Oh, they don't forget Butler's fate.
Hey, the Celtics play tonight, man. That's exciting stuff.
Is this game seven?
No.
No, what game?
Game
six?
Five. But they're playing again in Boston because they won one game in Cleveland, which no one thought they could do. LeBron, the king. By the way, all my son's friends, all the young guys out there love LeBron. I mean, I admire LeBron. He's the greatest player in the world. But just this devotion, this hero worship. LeBron. I mean,
that must be a young guy thing because most of my friends do not
like
LeBron.
Well, no, your friends don't like tattoos. That's the reason your friends don't watch the NBA.
Well,
but
I don't know about tattoos.
Oh, believe me, I know.
Okay.
I don't think your friends have seen an NBA game since Oscar was playing.
I have some friends who regularly watch.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just being stereotypical.
LeBron's not popular with them.
Because he's too good or too strong?
He's too much of a jackass.
Well, he does whine about the calls, let's face it. But game five tonight.
He's sort of insufferable.
But Brad Stevens is the former Butler coach who got the Celtics job, which is why I care about
that. I forgot that part of the equation.
I would give up all democratic principles and just make him king.
Yeah.
I would let him just do everything. If he imposed martial law, I'd say, well, Brad thinks it's
a lot
best.
Different than if Tom Crean had
Brad
become
thinks,
coach of
Tom
the
Crean, no. See, we're off in tangents. We're in tangents now. Tom is gone. He's no longer the coach.
Gone from Indiana. And we're happy about that.
My mother is smiling somewhere.
From above.
Yes. Dave Anthony. Remember Dave Anthony? it was his stage name, Dave Anthony.
Yeah.
Is just back from Europe. And he's got some great observations on how they viewed Trump and the U.S. and other things. Terrorism. We'll come back with Dave in a moment. The Mitch Hanks Show on MedicineTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is known to be one of the top three comedy clubs in the country. We handle it right because of the details. If you want to experience that yourself, MadisonComedy.com. I can't say that enough. You can get links to our text club where you can get free tickets.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com. 6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Dave Anthony was his radio name. It was on WIBA for about 5 years. He'll correct me if I'm wrong on any of these stats, but his real name, Dave Gadow, we often have stage names in this business. Tony Bennett.
Hey,
yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm trying to think if your equipment sounds good. I know you've been putting in equipment at home.
Yeah, I was going to do that, but I'm just on a headset, so I'm wondering if the quality's okay. Can you hear me all right?
Well, quality's fine, so you're in kind of a phone-type connection at this point.
Yes.
Well, that's
yes.
fine.
And I open a beer.
Well, I prefer my guests to be drinking beer, actually. It makes you smarter to certain... I mean, until you've had too many, I guess. You know, there's a point of no return on that.
Oh, that never happens.
But tell me about your European...
I'm in Florida. I'm in Florida, and it's hot. It's 90 degrees. And you got to have beer at this hour of the day.
Well, 90 degrees. It's as I've said many times, a cup of coffee is hot. For you, it's warm. You walk outside, it's warm. Hot is an iron. A cup of coffee, those are hot. A burner on the stove. It's just a pet peeve of mine.
It's 96 today, and it's humid, and it's Florida. Actually, it was a little bit cooler today. We've had some storms, but... It was nice. I just got back from Europe. I spent a couple weeks in Europe, and it was a nice break from the heat of Florida.
Oh, I'm sure you. Well, you're inland too, aren't you? In Orlando.
I am not right now. I'm actually near the coast in Tampa. So I'm.
Well, you can see my kids. They're in St. Pete.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Now,
that's a beautiful place, St. Pete.
Yeah, there you have it. I wonder if the Wax Museum's still there. I mean, just go by the Wax Museum. Well, it went in, of course, but. Anyway, you were in Europe for how long?
2 weeks recently. The first 2 weeks of May, I was in Europe. Yeah, I was England, France, and the Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic, Prague, where you were trying to find a wife, weren't you? Is that part of the trip?
No, Mitch, that's not the case. But they have wonderful genetics there, but that wasn't the mission.
So not a wife, just a friend for a few days, then. Is that the bottom line on that?
Oh, that's not how I roll, Mitch, but appreciate you putting that out there. I'm here to tell you about the trip and some things that I learned
and
get some feedback, and especially what the hell happened this week. It was an awful...
What's the feeling toward El Presidente?
Oh, they hate Trump, of course.
Everywhere?
You've got to remember, coast to coast, it's the European Union. They are... socialists.
Yeah, so they hate him. He's a right-wing brute.
Like Dave Chappelle said a few months ago, you know, let's give the guy a chance. And I'm in that category. I think he's an idiot, but people voted him in.
What are they saying about him in the Czech Republic?
Oh. You know, the Czech Republic is an interesting place, and Eastern Europe in general is fantastic because the level of education is so high. Now, the fact that there's a social contract, just like there is in Germany, and a fairly good portion of your paycheck goes to the social contract, you have taxes to pay, and that goes to pay for an umbrella of health care and retirement and all the services that civilization requires.
Yeah.
I don't think that they can say much about it at this point, but I'll tell you what I learned is that let me start with popping into it was my 131st country, the Czech Republic, and so I have a little bit of experience going in and out of customs around the world, and I flew into Heathrow, which is an experience in and of itself. Did the red eye, and all the red eye flights arrive at 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'm going through the snake line, getting up to the customs guy, and I identify, and you can't miss it, a woman in a full burqa, full black burqa. And I'm thinking, okay, this is interesting. Now, this is one of the most surveilled places on the planet. I'm completely safe here at Heathrow. And here's a woman in a burqa. Let's see how she goes through customs.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's a she. And they get up there and they chat and they look at the passports like they do at any customs checkpoint. And And the person underneath that burqa did not reveal their face.
Really?
So they let that person in without seeing what was underneath the burqa.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, that's kind of stupid. Why
I
is
guess,
that? Now, maybe
yeah.
I'm missing something. There was no biometrics involved. They didn't put their hand on it, and that would be one thing.
Yeah,
that
that's really...
fingerprints.
So no,
I was
no
just shocked at it.
They had no face shot.
There was that person did not have to reveal their face.
So it could have been somebody with a beard and whole thing, you know. Who knows?
It could have been somebody else. I'm just saying I've been in lots of burqa countries, and
as opposed to lots of burqas. You've not been in a lot of burqas.
I have not.
It's an aside, but go ahead.
I had the option to buy a burqa.
Well, we don't have to open that door, but go ahead. The rest of the
and
story.
In those places, let me just make an aside here. The eyes become incredibly sexy when you're in burqa land.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The eyes. Oh, yeah, because you can see the eyes. Yeah.
And the ladies, they make up those eyes. It's a very
is this in
thing.
Prague we're talking about here? Or?
No. So that was my first introduction to the new and improved England. And I had not been in England for about five years. And so it was really interesting. And then I got to talk to some people there that are in that world of security. And it was really an interesting point of view. And you probably don't know this, but recently they made it a law in the UK, and that your entire search history, all of your internet activity is accessible by the government at all times.
Jeez.
It is required. Yeah.
So if I'm on there looking up an old girlfriend from 30 years before, they're going to know it, aren't they?
Well, it comes down to the point of what happened this week. Here's the kid, you know, they got all the surveillance in the world. They have facial recognition cameras in the underground, and they have all this crazy stuff. The kid was on the radar. He was in Germany. He was in Libya.
And his family said he was. His family said he was dangerous. He told the authorities. They told the authorities he was dangerous.
Yeah.
But
they interviewed him. But see, all that security, the billions and billions, uncounted billions of dollars we're spending on security, the UK, the European Union, etc. It still didn't stop the kid. It was still incompetence, and they still allowed this kid to travel, get the knowledge, hook up with whoever it was. And do this atrocity.
Yeah, do whatever he wanted. Yeah.
12 years.
Well, nobody wants to do anything because they're afraid they're going to be called racists and bigots, you know?
No, I don't know why they did that. And I don't know why they missed this one. And it is a black mark on the security services in the UK and the European Union that they did not follow this. Now, they're going to say, well, maybe, we don't have enough money and, you know, we need 30 people to track one person. And that's their excuse, but I think all of the surveillance hasn't done anything. They'll argue that there have been many things that they have stopped behind the scenes that we don't know about, so shut up, the security is good. And, gee, just imagine if we didn't do this, we'd have bombings every day. I don't know if that's true. I guess if you trust them, you got to believe that. But here's another example of somebody who...
Of course, they're mad at us. They're mad at us for leaking the photos and intelligence information that they shared with our intelligence people, because our intelligence people leak like a sieve. And some of the Brits are mad at us about that. You've read that story?
Yeah, they're mad at us. They're a little sensitive because the worst bombing in 12 years hit the UK again. And this kid was outside the perimeter. So if you want to get into the facility there, I'm assuming there was some kind of bag check, and that didn't happen inside. It happened outside the facility between Victoria Station and Manchester Arena, and it's an incredibly busy place. When you look at it, let's just step back. It's a freaking tragedy, Mitch, but it was brilliantly executed for maximum carnage.
Well, that's a pathetic thought, but I think people are just numb. I mean, the victims were children. And I think
it's a horrible thing.
There's a sober reaction to this. I think people are just saying, you know what? And the press is spending 24/7 on the Comey Flynn stuff and Trump's tweets, but the people care more about getting rid of these bombers, don't you think? I mean, you know, you can have the investigation go on, but the bombers that kill the kids is more important than average people, is my point.
I absolutely agree. I think the solution is multifaceted, but clearly the security service has failed here again. It is a horrendous failure to them. This wasn't somebody that wasn't on the radar. They interviewed him. They knew about him. And now it's easy to do this in retrospect.
Well, hold on. The music is. You don't hear the music down there, apparently. But we got to take a quick spot break. Dave Gatto, who's a very talented human being, even though he is drinking a beer right now, come back with more.
Yes, he is.
On the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. Eric, is it true you've never taken a check from a client in 20 years?
We only get paid if we win, and 20 years of practicing law, I've never had a client to have to pay me for their time.
You don't take every case, quality over quantity?
Some of the bigger firms that do a lot of advertising are trying to take in as many cases as they can, as fast as they can. We actually reject more cases than we accept. We're trying to take a case where we can give it the time it deserves to be properly managed and litigated to get it ready for trial. Once you get beyond that number, the quality can suffer. So we're looking to provide high-quality legal service, and it's not about the numbers. We want to do those cases that we do have right.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
You know, we're on 5 to 7 p.m. now, due to some changes. Tuesday, Thursday, we're live. We're retooling, as they say, and doing some other stuff during the day. But, you know, stay tuned on our future. And Madison Talks, by the way, is our website, madisontalks.com. You can find it. It's not like finding Waldo in a picture of a lot of, you know, items. You can do it. Even Dave. Dave, you can find a website, can't you, pretty fast?
Can I do a podcast?
You can do a podcast. You know, we have our little promotion where the first one's free, and then after that we talk. But you
well,
can certainly...
I don't have to audition or anything, do I?
No, your people have talked to my people, and we've come to an agreement, so
all right, I'll have
it's all fine.
Call you.
Yeah.
So
you...
after I went to London for a while, I went to Paris. And have you done the Eurostar from London to Paris?
Have I?
Yeah.
I haven't been to Paris, Texas. Are you kidding? No, I'm a little behind the eight ball.
First of all, the Eurostar is a wonderful experience. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes from St. Pancras Station in London. Right into Gare du Nord.
Now, wait a minute. So you go under the channel and then you emerge above ground?
You do the channel. You're only in the channel for about 12 minutes.
Really? You want to, how fast are you going?
I think they crank it up to 200 plus.
So
I think
then
200 miles an
hour. Wow, then you emerge above ground in France.
Yeah, and then you go from the coast, and I've taken a regular train from the coast of France into Paris, but I've never done the Eurostar. And the Eurostar is, I went for a premium seat, and it's fantastic. They serve you breakfast, and it's a very relaxing Wi-Fi.
The Eurostar,
it's very nice.
You must have women just all over you if you're doing the Eurostar, sitting there with a white shirt and maybe a blue blazer, reading the paper. I mean, you got to be cleaning up.
Were you on the same car as me, Mitch? That's exactly what I was doing.
Oh, I knew you would be. Smoking a thin cigar, maybe having some...
No.
No?
But I came into Gare du Nord on a Monday morning, and I did not realize that about an hour after I arrived, they'd shut down Gare du Nord. The Gare du Nord is the train station at the north end of Paris. It's by Gare... It's a train station just north of... in the north part of Paris. And apparently they were looking for three guys that were supposedly coming in on the train from Brussels. And I didn't even know it was shut down. But I noticed a little bit higher security in Paris, but it wasn't. It was very subtle. I think that it's interesting to see all the North Africans in Paris. You see a lot of North Africans, and of course there's some no-go areas in Paris. And I hate that phrase, no-go, but that it really is true that there are parts of Paris that the immigrants, I hate to call them refugees, the immigrants have chosen to live in large numbers, and they have their own societies and their own economies, and it is a huge struggle. I write France off. I think that the French culture is wonderful, the French food and the wine, and I stayed up in Montmartre, which is the north part of Paris, and it's a wonderful 120 years ago it was cow pasture, and now it's 100 years old, and it's a beautiful part of Paris, and it's old and wonderful. It's just up the hill from the sex shops in the Montmartre, but it's a wonderful place there.
You've never frequented them, those, I'm sure.
No, I take pictures, Mitch. I don't go to those places.
I understand, Paris West. No, Paris East. Paris East. No, Las Vegas East. Sorry. Go ahead.
So I didn't, unless you were at Gare du Nord, you wouldn't have known it. I only found it out the next day, and it was
the bombing.
It was a very subtle thing. I didn't see a whole lot of security at Gare du Nord. More than normal, I didn't see a heightened amount, but it was very subtle. I think now it's very high profile in England and France, but they're pretty subtle about their security.
I've seen London. I've seen France. Well, forget about the rest of that. I'm just in a whimsical mood, kind of goofy, I'm kind of punch drunk. It's been a long day, but I like having you on, talking about all this cosmopolitan, James Bond type stuff. You know, Prague, Paris, London.
The interesting part, you know, Hungary put up a wall, and that kind of stemmed the flow a lot. It's once you put up a wall, and even the threat of a wall in the U.S. kind of stopped things. I see that the farmers in California are screaming now because they have fewer workers than they need, and that we don't even have a wall up yet. But if you travel to Central and Eastern Europe, as I did over to the Czech Republic, you don't see as many Middle Easterners and North Africans as you do in Western Europe. And I think the people are kind of relieved about that because the pressure on your social services is pretty high. I did have a conversation with a guy, a Tunisian, and we shared some stories. I've been to Tunisia, and we shared some stories. Mm-hmm. The guy makes his living putting a big python around people's necks on the street.
Oh, yeah? Wow. Hey, it's
big
work.
Big yellow python.
Nice work if you can get it, right? You know.
And he made $20 in 20 minutes while I was talking to him.
I'd do it. You know, after being in radio, I'd do it.
He explained to me that there aren't as many North Africans there, and he kind of likes it that way. And it was, you know, Prague is just a wonderful place. It's chock full of tourists. There are direct flights from Beijing and Shanghai and Seoul. So a lot of East Asians there, Southeast Asians, and it is a very, very busy place. The next 3 months, it'll just be chock full of people.
Well, if they find out you're
not been to that part of the world, Bill.
They find out you're an American. What do? Just say you got a rotten breath. Is it, are we exaggerated? Or, I mean, people, do they care that much? I mean, whether it's England or France or the Czech Republic, do they even care? Do you get in those conversations and people snap at you? What's going on there?
No, they... I've been to a lot of countries, and I'll tell you what happened in 2009. I was traveling through Turkey, specifically southern Turkey, and I got a taxi then in it was Antalya, Turkey, I believe, and which is now a jumping off place for all the refugees who want to go from they want to move from Turkey and Syria, and they want to get into Greece and make their way through Europe. And the taxi driver, you're from America? I said, yeah, I'm from America, and he. So Obama, good. So whatever you think about Obama, people liked him in other parts of the world. Good or bad, I don't take a position
the
on that.
The taxi driver in Turkey.
Taxi driver in Turkey, love it. And he'd only been an officer about 10 months or so.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's called soft power. With Trump now, people, it's almost like they give you, it's like they have a compassion for you. It's like,
you poor baby, that kind of thing. Oh, yeah. The ugly American kind of thing. Is that back in
that
the mind?
That sucks. Your president sucks. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know what? Just enough. You know, you're American. You don't want to hear it. You're on vacation. You want to eat some food, meet some women. You don't want to hear it. Is that fair to say? I mean, enough's enough. You know, you hear that on CNN. You watch it on CNN. You watch it on MSNBC all day. You know, or do you just go, you smile and say, oh, yes, it's
if
horrible.
If somebody
thing.
Wants to get into politics, I'll talk politics. But I generally don't when I'm in other countries. I try to talk about the classical music concert I went to last night, the Museum of Music,
or we talk
about the food or what a restaurant or however. If you meet another American, generally an American, especially in some more remote places in the world, generally, they're going to be a little bit more informed about things, or and then you can kind of talk. But as a rule, I generally don't talk politics with just
uninvited. Uninvited, yeah.
Uninvited.
Well, I do appreciate the world tour and the world report, and we'll be looking forward to your podcast soon on MadisonTalks.com. How about that?
Will people listen to it, Mitch? Because I haven't been on the radio in Madison for 15 and a half years.
Okay, Dave Anthony, alias Dave Gatto, wants to know if you'll listen. Just post. Tell me if you're going to listen to Dave Anthony. He will. Just put it on Facebook or something. Put it on Twitter.
No. I don't do Facebook. Please email Mitch if you'd like to see Dave Anthony.
That's
come
a little
back.
Too narrow. You got to do something. Do Twitter. Do something. You can't just. You got to put it out there, man. You know, and I'll do it too. But you know, once we get the date down, I'll promote it. But. You're going to have to embrace social media on this stuff to a certain extent.
Oh, I don't know. People don't remember me, Mitch. They're not going to listen to me.
Well, you know what? I'll tell them, too. If they don't, I'll have to punch them in the nose. What can I tell you? I could threaten the audience. So, listen, I appreciate the rundown. It's always elegant to hear your stories. And James Bond died, Roger Moore just died, 89.
I hope I make it that long. That would be pretty cool to be 89.
You have that James Bond life, so it's fine.
All right. All an illusion, Mitch.
I understand. Well, thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
Enjoy the heat. All right, take care. That's Dave Gatto, who was on radio for 5 years on WIBA in Madison. Had quite a following, actually. And he moved around, worked on cruises as like an art dealer or art, you know, I don't know what he did with nice classical art on cruises for a long time, did all kinds of stuff.
Sounds like he's been all over.
Now he's got some ag thing he's doing, you know, down there with some investors. He's kind of a worldly guy. Never really settled down. He was too busy to settle down. You know, people that settle down, you know, they sit on the couch and watch Wheel of Fortune. You know,
world's too big, huh?
Maybe you have a hamburger helper. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, after getting the divorce, and this sounds terrible, but I haven't really been in this race to get married. Of course, you know, obviously, as you can tell, there are a lot of factors why it wouldn't happen, but you don't just race down the aisle again. Once you've gone down the aisle, you don't race. You might go, you know, eventually, if it works out, right, you meet the right person, you
take
might
take a stroll.
You might stroll. You might stroll, but you're never going to race again. I'll tell you that right now. Just a little life advice. Are we going to the end here? Or we have another break.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds and we're going out.
We want to thank Bob Keller, the Keller Real Estate, Keller Real Estate Group for the spacer in West Wash. Check out his properties, Tuscan Place, Washington Court, Westside, Whitcomb Square, all this. Go to kellerapartments.com. That's kellerapartments.com. Thank Mike Brockenfeld for engineering. We've got Bob Abella next, Mike?
Yes, sir.
With the wide world of radio, classic radio from the 30s and 40s, the old greats, which is kind of cool, kind of a novelty thing. You know, Bing Crosby and George Burns and Gracie Allen, Al Jolson, all that stuff. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Really fun. Enjoy that, and we'll be live again next Tuesday at 5. And we're streaming all the time, so shows are playing all the time. Check it out. MadisonTalks.com. We'll see you soon.